I don't know about you. Whatever you feel about yourself, whatever you're going through, whatever you feel about your effectiveness in life, but I want you to know this morning, you are not a nobody. And there's more to you than you think, because there's more going on than you realize. Let's take a quiz. Number one, who taught Martin Luther his theology and inspired his translation of the New Testament? What was the name of the German prince who hid him in his castle to write it? I don't hear any Melanchthons out there. Okay, number two, who visited Dwight L. Moody at a shoe store in Chicago and spoke to him about Jesus? Number three, who told stories of Bengalese missionaries to a young girl named Agnes in Macedonia who would grow up to found the Missionaries of Charity, and her name is what? Yeah. Nobody knows who told the stories of those missionaries to Bengal. Number four, who was the wife of Charles Spurgeon? He had one. Mrs. Spurgeon, thank you very much. I'm buying you Dairy Queen for that. Number five, who was the elderly woman who prayed faithfully for Billy Graham for over 20 years? Number six, who financed the young Methodist man Judson Collins' ministry to China? Number seven, who cared for the Apostle Paul in that Roman dungeon as he wrote his last and final letter to Timothy? Number eight, who helped Charles Wesley realize that he could write verses and be a composer of hymns? Number nine, who taught John Trevor to love ancient manuscripts and translating and languages enough to understand and work out the discovery of the Dead Sea Scrolls in the 1940s and 50s? Number 10, who personally taught Francis Chan his techniques in the pulpit? Number 11, who were the parents of the God-honoring prophetic young man named Daniel? Number 12, who was the Trinity Seminary prof who told Bill Hybels that if a church existed like that once, the one in Acts chapter 2, why can't it happen again? Well, before you answer any of the rest of the questions, if you can, stop. Had it not been for these unknown people, these nobodies, a huge chunk of church history would be missing, and a lot of lives would have never been reached and have been untouched, because nobodies, all but invisible people to human history. Jim Elliot, the martyred young man sharing Christ with the Auca Indians, called his group of missionary friends a bunch of nobodies trying to exalt somebody. Don't ever mistake anonymous for unnecessary, especially in the day of followers and social media. There's more to every great story than meets the eye. Whatever is happening in your life, there is more to it than you know. Whatever your unique challenge is in your life, there's more to it than meets the eye. You see, we believe, church, in the Holy Spirit, whose job it is to lift up the God, the Father Almighty, and Jesus Christ, the Son of God, Son of Man. The Holy Spirit, though, seems almost invisible to us because one of God the Spirit's primary jobs is not to point people to himself. It's to point people to God the Father and God the Son. The gospel, think of it this way, doesn't stop at the cross, the resurrection and the ascension of Jesus. The gospel continues to unfold in the coming of the Holy Spirit at Pentecost. And the coming of the Holy Spirit into our lives. And the coming of the Holy Spirit into the rest of the world's lives. The Holy Spirit is the ongoing reminder that God doesn't just exercise authority over the world, but God has authority to act in the world. Like we've done over this series, I would like us to state our faith together out loud through the Apostles' Creed. Ready? I believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended to the dead. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits on the right hand of the Father Almighty, from which he shall come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. We have now reached the third person of the Trinity, the Holy Spirit. Father, Son, Holy Spirit. The Trinity ties together God as one, the high and holy God who dwells in inapproachable light with the one who reveals himself in humble tenderness and compassion as Jesus, the man from Nazareth. And so when you say you believe in the triunity God, you are saying this is all together. You're saying God's very nature is relational, but not soft. You see, Islam teaches God is solitary and has no interest in revealing himself to us or anyone. Hinduism believes that the highest conception of God is abstract and impersonal. Buddhism does not believe in an ultimate God, only lesser enlightened beings. The Trinity is unique among world religions by its Christian proclamation. Scripture tells us how Jesus told his disciples he would be leaving them and how he was the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through him in John 14:6. But Jesus also says, starting in John 14:15, these words, "If you love me, you'll obey what I command. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another counselor to be with you forever, the Spirit of truth." The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him. He lives with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. So Jesus will send his followers another counselor who will be with them forever, the Spirit of truth, which I think is interesting in this day and age of relativism and I feel versus I think, and the day of whatever. Jesus calls, one of his first introductions to his followers is, "I will give you the Spirit of truth." And in this day when people believe anything they want to hear within the church as well as outside of the church, I think it's no accident. There's more going on here than meets the eye. The problem is that there are many of us, millions of churchgoers, who can't confidently say that they have experienced his presence, the Holy Spirit's presence, or his action in their lives over the past year. But if you've felt that there's a discrepancy between what you know about the truth and how you live, if you feel there's a discrepancy between how you are and what you know God created you to be, that is likely the Holy Spirit wooing you into a changed heart and a changed life. Because one of the things Jesus says right away is the Holy Spirit will convict people of sin. God's Holy Spirit doesn't want a carefully balanced compromise from you. God is not just one more thing that we add to the mix that we call life. God wants an invitation from you to permeate everything and every part of you. Maybe we only want a little bit of God, but the truth is there is so much more going on here than meets the eye because of God's Holy Spirit. Never think that because something is invisible, it is therefore unimportant or weak. I flew on an airplane a few weeks ago. I was thankful for what was invisible holding me up in the plane. But we fall for that, don't we? I know we get trapped. I get trapped by all the stuff in my life, by all the to-dos that are breathing down my neck that I can see, let alone what I can't see. Maybe you're there too. Work issues, health issues, relationship issues, financial issues, deadlines, past failings, inward failings, spouses self-destructing before our eyes, global issues. We see that. But we believe in the Holy Spirit. And by saying and proclaiming by faith, we believe in the Holy Spirit, it doesn't just wrap up the Trinity. Oh, we covered the Father, the Son, and now the Holy Spirit. By saying we believe in the Holy Spirit, it's a reminder that the most powerful force in life is something we can't even see. So powerful that we are given eternal life as a result. That's powerful. We believe every moment of our earthly life, every moment of your earthly life, the Spirit of God is ready to work within you and within me. Every moment of your life, the Spirit of God is ready to work within you. Think of that in the doctor's office. Think of that at the gym. Think of that when you're having a frustrating conversation with one of your children. Every moment of your life, the Spirit of God is ready to work within you through your words, through your actions, through your attitudes. So never forget with God, there is more going on here than meets the eye. What if you operated in that power in your moment-by-moment life? What if we found a way to unplug all the things in our lives that keep us from experiencing God? Imagine the Holy Spirit being unleashed on Dexter neighborhoods and on Pinckney sports fields or Chelsea businesses or Ann Arbor students. God knew we would need him today. And so Jesus left us with himself. If you need God today, don't think that means you're weak or outside of God's will. You are exactly where God wants you, in need of him today by the power of his Holy Spirit. So Jesus left us with himself to live deep within. That is, if you invite him in. Now, before Jesus' ascension to heaven, he told his disciples in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, "You shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and even to the remotest parts of the earth." That is a promise from our Savior. You shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you shall be my witnesses. When Jesus tells them that they will receive power, the author of Luke uses the Greek word dynamis, spelled like dynamite. Power, meaning miraculous power, strength, ability, and abundance. Now we have this mistaken identity that power just means big biceps. But I tell you, there is so much power in this room, including amongst people in their 80s and 90s and 70s, because of God's Spirit living in you, being with you, allowing you to be a witness to the rest of us. Jesus was filled with the Holy Spirit in power to live and to minister. That's what it looks like. It's not magic. It's not manipulation. It's not big biceps. It's the power of God to make all things right in your life. So don't give up. Mark chapter 9 tells us this: all things are possible for the one who believes. Those are Jesus' words. It's only in the fellowship with Jesus that his disciples can do anything. In John 15, chapter 5, Jesus tells them again, "Apart from me, you can do nothing." Nothing worth doing in the kingdom of God, that is. The Spirit makes our relationship with Jesus possible, and we must receive that power. It doesn't just come on us. Jesus corrected the church people of his day, saying in Matthew 22, "You are in error because you don't know the scriptures or the power of God." Do you know the scriptures? What a great goal for spring and for summer. And we've got Bibles with lots of study guides in the editions that our bookstore has. If you don't have a good Bible with good footnotes that say, what in the world was that? And you can look down below and help you refer. There's some great things that you can do. But there's one key to experiencing God's power, which is Jesus in your life. And Jesus says it in this verse, in his final words in the book of Acts. You shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses. Will you say that with me? You shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses. Notice it doesn't say, then you shall be my witnesses. The Greek word for witnesses is the word martis, spelled like the word martyr. It's a legal term from the first century, meaning witness, not prosecutor. You don't have to be a judge. You don't have to be an expert. Don't wait until you become an expert to start witnessing to Jesus. Just say what you do know. And notice that the power and the witnessing go together. You shall receive power and you shall be my witnesses. Don't wait until you feel all powered up before you start sharing something about Jesus with yourself and in the people in your life. It's as though Jesus is saying, the miraculous power I give you for living comes when you point people to me. That's why it's so important to be here on Sundays. That's why it's important to say, it's important to share Christ. It's important to invite someone else. You inviting somebody else here is going to grow God's power in your life. By simply showing up, you're giving witness to Jesus. And God's Holy Spirit breathes into you and me in a powerful way as we encounter his word. There's more going on here than meets the eye. That's God's Holy Spirit. No human power can convert a soul and make Jesus real to the people and break their slavery to sin. Only God, by his Holy Spirit, does that. When the feelings and the enthusiasm and the fellowship are gone, when they are alone, when these early disciples, knowing what they were going to be facing, when Christians around the world today know what they're going to be facing, when they are whipped and beaten, when they are threatened with torture and death, they will never really be alone. Because God's Holy Spirit was with them and is with you. When your enthusiasm is gone, God's Spirit is not. There's more than meets the eye. When you don't know the next step to take, God's Spirit does. When you don't know how you're going to handle your situation, the Holy Spirit does. When you don't know how to begin that painful conversation, God does. When you pray to receive Jesus, you have the full measure of God's Spirit in your life. And because Jesus sent his Holy Spirit to live in you, you have a full measure of God's power. His power that was used to raise Jesus from the dead is one and the same as the Holy Spirit, God in you. I pray that you go the rest of this day, a whole day, led by God's Holy Spirit. He knows what you need today, and he's with you through it all. Because there's so much more going on than meets the eye. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, some of us never caught the little article, you will receive power and you shall be my witnesses in Jerusalem and Judea and to the ends of the earth. We've been waiting, Lord, to be filled up before we think we have anything of significance to add. We've been feeling pretty anonymous. Lord, help us wait no longer, but help us, Lord, to receive your power as we witness. Lord, we know that we can't stay right where we are and be your servant the way you've called us to be. So we pray that you would move in our hearts, that you would be our counselor, that you would be our guide, you would be our companion, you would be our helper. All words that Jesus used. for your Holy Spirit in our lives. Thank you, God, that you have come, and thank you that you give us the opportunity to invite you in. Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on me. Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on me. Melt me, mold me, fill me, use me. Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on me.